Welcome to More Than a Refresh, a podcast about data and the people who wrangle it, and interviews with the most interesting people you may have never met. Today we are recording from Astoria, Queens. Actually, we're recording from North Carolina, Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Austin, Texas. Our guest is Hugh Forrest, co-president and chief programming officer, chief programming officer at South by Southwest. Hugh, tell us a little bit.
Hey, JD, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. South by Southwest, we are a 9-day festival conference focusing on all things creativity in all its many, many forms. We are located in Austin, Texas, a city that has always cultivated and celebrated creativity. We happen every March when it is spring in Austin, Texas. So you have that metaphor of rebirth, re-inspiration, it is a great time for all.
Yeah, I've been to Austin a lot. It always reminds me of a whole lot of hippies being surrounded by cowboys.
Well, we may be a little less hippie vibe in recent years, but that is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, so what's your background? I mean, did your co-president, did you found it? Are you one of the founders of South by Southwest?
No. South by Southwest started in 1987, way back before there was an interwebs and dark ages. We were barely learning what fire was, all that good stuff. I came on board in 1989. I was the first paid employee. So someone once told me I should call myself the founding employee. I'm not sure if that's a real thing, but if it was or is, that's me. I have, as with all jobs, I've quit a few times, but come back. So have been at South by Southwest for, at this point, roughly 35 years. I've been fortunate enough to see the thing grow from a fairly small event to an event that's not so small. Something certainly the growth, the changes, the evolution was something that I never in my wildest dreams anticipated way back when I came on board in 1989. But again, it's been fascinating and a hell of a ride to enjoy.
Well, let's talk about that growth for a little bit. How big is it?
With the context that size really doesn't matter, because there's great things that are small and great things that are big, and not so great things that are small and not so great things that are big. South by Southwest, we draw roughly 60,000 badge holders, people who buy the full registration, and also people who get a badge by speaking, by performing, by having their film showed at the event. We will tend to have another maybe 200,000 consumers, quote unquote, who come to Austin for the event to enjoy the great music that happens here during South by Southwest, all the films, all the activities. So it's brings together a ton of people. Our economic impact, we just released our economic impact figures for the 2023 event, the March 2023 event. And the economic impact for the city of Austin from South by Southwest was about $380 million. That's money put into the economy from Uber's bought, hotel rooms bought, meals purchased, trinkets purchased, t-shirts purchased. To put that into context, that is about half of a Super Bowl, half to two-thirds of a Super Bowl. So South by Southwest is kind of the Super Bowl for Austin. The good thing is that it happens every year, and again, brings all these very, very creative people to Austin. Even more so, it brings a lot of media to Austin. It shines a very, very bright light on the creativity that happens in Austin year round. And in that sense has helped, help build this brand Austin, where people, have a, understanding of what Austin is. As you said, it's cowboys, surrounded by hippies. No, hippies surrounded by cowboys.
Yeah. Hippies surrounded by cowboys. Texas is a big state and Austin's only a small part of it. Although it is the capital.
Has helped create this understanding that creativity is a big part of the DNA of Austin and always will be, I think.
Well, I think that, you know, it's funny you say that. Have you ever heard of the NASA study on creativity?
No, tell me more, please.
Okay. I haven't read the whole thing. I just read the, you know, the synopsis of it. But basically NASA being NASA needs to be able to find geniuses. How do we find more geniuses? And so they set about studying humans and how to find these geniuses. And they started with five-year-olds. And what they found was that something, and I'm paraphrasing this, is, but something along the lines of 98% of five-year-olds qualify as genius.
Hmm.
And then by the time you're 10, it drops to about 60%. And then by the time you're 15, it drops really low, like down to 2%. And what they actually attribute it to is the loss of creativity through the education system. So I would argue that something like South by Southwest bringing so much creativity, so much creatives together, allowing that to flourish. Sure, it's a festival, but it's something we should be doing more of, because creativity teaches one, you know, expression and identity and art, but it also teaches problem solving.
Absolutely. And,
I mean, I'm not sure if you noticed, but we have a few problems right now going on that might need some creative solutions. But without getting too... Go ahead.
And JD, let me just give a little more great answer there. I was not familiar with this. I love that idea. A lot of people have heard of the phrase that has somewhat become synonymous with... our fair city, which is Keep Austin Weird.
Yep.
And our former mayor, who is actually now our current mayor, because he was mayor 20 years ago and has retaken the office, his point here is that Keep Austin Weird really means Keep Austin Creative, that weird is another way to say creative. I like that. I also think that, you know, we are, as we know, we have wittingly or not fully embraced or are fully embracing this age of AI where computers, algorithms, machines, robots, however you want to phrase that, are going to be making more of our decisions or helping make more of our decisions. And that can be a good thing, but that means that human creativity, human imagination, human innovation, human ingenuity, playfulness, however you want to phrase that, is going to become even more important in the future than it is now. So there are many things that concern me about South by Southwest's future, but certainly this idea that creativity is always going to be in demand and even more so as we move forward makes me think that our little event has a long road ahead of us.
I don't disagree. I think that people, and I think that the pandemic actually brought this about in a more focused manner, in that people are desperately seeking connection.
Absolutely.
And I mean, one of the ways that you can connect in a very powerful way, and it's a creative area, is like music, for example, or art. And everyone has their particular subjective things that they enjoy, types of music or types of art. I still don't get modern art, but I love classical stuff. And if you can make that connection through the creatives, it's a bond, right? You end up creating these bonds and these sharing these experiences. And that's only going to become more demonstrably relevant as other things start to fade away. When we no longer have to think about X, Y, or Z because we've already solved that problem, so it's in the AI, you know, long language model or whatever, we can then focus our energies on becoming a classical society of some sort. Maybe not so, as someone who loves profit, don't get me wrong, but maybe not so profiteering and more engineering toward, you know, being people in exploring and enjoying humanity itself. And on that, How do you, so South by South, I mean, that's, it's a huge show. I mean, it's not Burning Man huge, but it's not that far behind. And we run a thing called Schoolypalooza, which is basically a nomad festival. And we thought that was the one we run in Arizona is big, but it's nothing compared to what you're talking about. I mean, what's that experience like?
For me or for someone else? I mean,
the experience. Well, for you. I mean, you're the one here.
We hope that the experience for attendees is they get to take in tons of different ideas, get inspired by very, very different kinds of creative people. One of the things that I think we do really well at South by Southwest is we bring together very, very creative people from very different industries. And we firmly believe that, you know, you can learn a lot from creative people in your own industry. And it's great to connect with creative people in your own industry. But even more so, we believe that you can learn even more from someone creative in a completely different industry and see how that person, those people approach their problems, overcome their creative obstacles, did their particular project, and that can inspire you. And certainly, we think some of the most valuable connections that are made at events like South by Southwest are those cross-industry connections where, hey, you do this really well, I do this really well, let's get together and we can create something even better. And that's kind of the space that we specialize in. So back to your question about what the experience is, you know, it is all kinds of different inputs, whether it's music, whether it's a punk band from Iceland or, you know, a country western band from Siberia, music from all over the world, all different kinds of genres. We've got a huge film festival that accompanies the event. So everything from documentary shorts to narrative features, from again, film up and coming filmmakers as well as established filmmakers from around the U.S. and around the world. We also have a comedy festival that occurs within South by Southwest, and leading up to South by Southwest, we have an event that focuses on innovation in the education industry. The interactive portion of our event focuses on primarily on new technology, what's happening there. So again, it's lots and lots and lots of different ideas, a way for hopefully people to discover new things, to learn new things, to network, and most of all, come away inspired. As you said before, we have a world, or we are in a world that has some problems. We are in a world that has some divisions. We hope that people come away from South by Southwest filled with new ideas, filled with new inspirations on ways to help bridge some of these divisions and create something that is a little more functional.
That, so I've always known of South by Southwest. I haven't really followed it. And it's funny, part of what you said, one, I feel like we need to be in a field smoking something, listening to some bands. Okay. There's a little bit of that definite hippie vibe, and I love it. I'm not in any way criticizing. But there's another part of it that was actually, it stressed me out a little bit. And what you said was, it's a lot of input. And I'm an introvert. So when you start talking about lots of input, I just, you know, I start wondering, I mean, that's a lot of people and a lot of creatives all in one spot. I mean, how do you conceptualize each year's programming, and how do you like keep the themes in a particular direction, or is it more organic than that?
Well, I think there are at least two different questions there. High five from one introvert to another, because I am very much so. And I think that, a sizable portion of the community that comes to South by Southwest is our introverts also. So there are certainly lots of things that at South by Southwest we're lots of people can get together. There are also lots of things that are opportunities for smaller, more controlled interactions that maybe more of our community or some of our community is more comfortable with. In terms of how we put this all together, I would say it's a little more on the, as you phrased, the organic side. I'm a huge, huge, huge believer in the power of community. And that the community often knows more about your event, your product, your idea than you do, and or that the community can often make your event, your product, your idea much better than you can. So from a conference programming perspective, i.e. the panels, the keynotes, the speakers, we source a lot of that from community input ideas. And this is one of the ways that we've expanded to a lot of different verticals beyond just music, film, and technology verticals, such everything from sports, food, style, government and politics, psychedelics, cannabis, and everything in between, entrepreneurism, startups, transportation. This community-driven approach to programming has helped on that. Again, the more we have relied on our community, tried to understand our community, communicated with our community, listened to our community, I think the more relevant we have become in a lot of our content. We roughly have the same approach in terms of the bands that perform at the event, as well as the films that perform at the event, meaning it's less about us curating and more about people entering to either perform, have their films screened. And again, the more we rely on the community, the more good ideas we get from them, the stronger, the more powerful, the more compelling we become.
So how does that work? You said, you know, either screen films being screened or submitting to, you know, play your music. Can anyone just like fill out a form and do you pick them or do you just slot them in and where they can fit?
Well, let's take the film portion of the event as an example. I mean, we'll typically, quote unquote, with this year being a tad different because of some of the challenges that Hollywood has had, we'll typically get, you know, 7,000, 8,000 total films. Again, that ranges from shorts to feature length things. We have a robust screening program where we have either staffers or volunteers that are watching every single thing that comes in, watching it many times, or several different people watching a given work of art. And we use that system to pick out what we think, choose what we think are the best entries. Again, there's typically, it is a very, very competitive process, whether that's a film wanting to be screened at the event, a new film, whether that's a band wanting to perform at the event, whether that's someone wanting to speak on a panel. Again, it's community driven, but it's also very, very competitive. Again, both of which we think make for some really good content.
Oh, certainly. And it's actually good to hear that. I was thinking that if it was a free for all, the quality would be such a...
There are plenty of free for all things. At South by Southwest, this is a little less so, but yes, it's some degree of controlled chaos.
Well, you also said, and I'm wondering if this was a Freudian slip, or you said a country and Western band from Siberia. Is that something that's actually happened, or something you wish would happen to country and Western music?
Mic drop on that one, man. I'm sure we've had a country Western band from Siberia play at some point over the last 30 years. I'm not saying that they played in the last year, but again, very, very, very different kinds of music from unexpected places from all over the world. And often, you know, what you'll hear from someone attending South by Southwest is, you know, wow, I saw that blank, blank, you know, this big act was playing in South by Southwest. And it was great to get to see them in concert. But the coolest thing was I stumbled into some club. I didn't know where I was going. And again, I saw this band from Japan that, you know, played Louis Armstrong covers or something. And I was like, what, how did this happen? So again, it's discovering new and different things. And our best moments at South by Southwest, we are a preview of the future, whether that's hearing a new band that you haven't heard of, but whoa, in 2 or 3 years, that Louis Armstrong band from Japan became famous, or whether it's a filmmaker, young filmmaker who not a whole lot of people know of yet, but become very famous or start doing mainstream stuff in a couple of years, or whether it's a young entrepreneur, a young technology entrepreneur who you may not have heard of yet, but goes on to develop something really amazing. So, we're always a little bit of a mix of this up and coming stuff with a few more established people. But again, that kind of balance makes for a really compelling event. And again, gives people a chance to discover lots of new things, get lots of new ideas, get inspired to create their own new ideas, get inspired to create new collaborations, new brainstorms, new partnerships, new opportunities. This is what we do at South by Southwest.
So in a lot of ways, you're kind of if you think of, business process, you got your incubation period. That's not where you are, but you're like right after that. You're the launch platform for potential, basically viable product. But when we talk product, it's anything creative.
Absolutely. We celebrate entrepreneurship in all its many forms. I mean, I think in 2023, 2024, we often tend to think of entrepreneurship as like tech startups.
And yeah.
And they are good. But hey, a new band, they're entrepreneurs. A new filmmaker who is trying to find her or his audience, they're entrepreneurs. Someone who's got some other kind of new product, new idea, new venture, new service, they're entrepreneurs. And what we do at South by Southwest, what we often do at South by Southwest is create the content providers with the people who can get their content to a much larger audience. And that's a really neat thing to be involved with.
Well, when I think, what you're saying is that not only are you bringing a place for people to connect and learn and network, but it's also, to use a sports analogy, it might be where the agents go to find the next pro.
Yeah, very right? much so. Back to music. I mean, when South by Southwest started back in the 80s, when I first joined, it was an entirely music event. And so much of what the process there was young bands bringing a suitcase or two full of demo tapes and then trying to get the demo tape into the hand of the A&R agent who was going to potentially sign them to a record deal or getting their tape into the hand of a club owner in another city who, booked me at your club, that type thing. That process has changed a little bit over the years. That process of discovery, I don't know that a whole lot of people have tapes anymore. Moreover, platforms like, TikTok or YouTube, a lot of the discovery happens there these days. That said, South by Southwest still has a huge role in this discovery process for, as you said, agents to meet the young talent that they haven't met yet, haven't heard yet, haven't seen in person yet, haven't had a coffee with in person yet. And that kind of face-to-face interaction is still extremely important, as much as our world has changed to where we are now.
Yeah, I wonder if, because it is so easy to self-publish now. But self-publishing, unless you're a social media guru, superstar, and you got to build your following and all those types of things, I would imagine that getting in front of people and performing and getting those people to build that influence and that advocacy for you would be very powerful, especially for the young and newer artists, whether it's music or not.
Absolutely. That ability to, if you're an artist, again, perform in front of an audience where the agent, the talent scout, the club buyer, whatever you want to phrase, sees how, what kind of impact you have the audience, what kind of energy you bring to the stage, what kind of presence you have there, whether it's seeing a film, a new premiere in a theater, seeing how the audience reacts, whether it's watching a young entrepreneur talk about their product, talk about their service, talk about their vision for the future, how that resonates with the community. Again, these things are, these face-to-face interactions are still are very, very important. I'm back to something you said a few minutes ago, JD. I mean, you know, pre-pandemic, if I was talking to a group, I often used to make this straw man argument that, is VR, is AR going to kill events like South by Southwest? Because this technology is kind of improving, and at some point soon, we may get to a point where you in Las Cruces, New Mexico, can put on your headset and all of a sudden be virtually in the middle of 6th Street in Austin, Texas. And isn't that going to be much easier than flying to Austin and finding a place to park and experiencing the event that way? And so are we worried about VR will again change events like South by Southwest? And it was a straw man argument, because as cool as these new technologies are, as neat as they are in many ways, as impactful and powerful as they are in many ways, they still do not hold a candle to the human experience of being face-to-face, of interacting in person. And one of the ironies of South by Southwest in where we are in our current form is the event very much celebrates new technology, new ways of connecting, whether it's VR, AR, whether it's the, you know, whatever is new this year. And we bring together all these people who work on these things. But what happens when we bring these people together? They find that the oldest technology in the book is still the most powerful technology, which is, again, being in the same room as someone else, having dinner with them, having breakfast with them, having a coffee, shaking the person's hand, seeing if you have some kind of personal connection there. So again, that power of personal connection is very much drives events like South by Southwest also.
Yeah, I can't stress, the human connection that you make, we have a team of about 20 on the technical side of day job here. And one of my team members was having trouble getting some tasks completed. And I was frustrated with the team member because these are tasks that should have been done. They were late. The client was upset and those types of things. And the team member went on and on and on and on about all the reasons why these things weren't getting done. And I said, so what you're telling me is that you have burned days and days and days chatting about this problem, chatting being in the box. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, why didn't you just pick up the fucking phone? And the look on his face, right? Is that he didn't even process the idea that you could just pick up the phone, have a conversation, and solve the problem in seconds. And that's that human connection, right? If you're just in the box, I mean, even you and I right here, we're not as far apart as we probably think we are, probably 800 miles apart right now. But at least we're looking at each other. We're having a human connection. But if I'm just typing to you and you're typing back, it's enormous, it's ineffective. And that's the problem. The same problem gets presented with something like virtual reality. Yeah. Because it's not real. It, by definition of title, it's virtual reality. And as much as that can be a drug, and I'm sure both of us, as well as many people that go to South by Southwest, experience altered reality on occasion. The concrete part of it is that it is reality. You are still meeting those people. You're laughing with those people. You're building bonds with those people. And connections like this, when this comes out, if there's any young people watching this, roll in your eyes, because we're a couple of old guys. I suggest you listen because this is very real. A human connection that you make today may mean nothing for 10 years. And then 10 years from that day, it's suddenly your paycheck.
Absolutely.
It's suddenly your exposure. It's suddenly that promotion, that next lift in your life. Or maybe it's just someone who reaches out because they continue to follow you because you inspired them, and now they can help you. It may not be overnight. And something like a South by Southwest, I mean, you're talking about connections all over the place.
Yeah, I love that idea, JD. I mean, I again, with the context that we're two introverts that hate to talk to people or are reluctant to talk to people, I do as I say, not as I do. I always encourage people coming to South by Southwest or going to other events that, you know, make as many connections as possible. Treat everyone with respect. You do not know what those connections will amount to down the line. As you said, is it your next job in 10 years? And my best story here is as follows, that one of the things that really changed the course of South by Southwest, we were the right time at the right place, the right time, in a lot of social media. And in 2007, Twitter famously launched at South by Southwest. And I say launched because they were kind of out already, but they were nice enough to say South by Southwest was where they launched. And so it made every startup want to come to South by Southwest. It made every VC want to come to South by Southwest to discover the next Twitter. That was great. There's a famous picture of Twitter accepting an award. There's Jack Dorsey. There's Biz Stone, a couple other guys. And one of the other guys was someone that I met, you know, in 2007 when Twitter was at South by Southwest. We stayed in touch over the years. lo and behold, in, say, September 2015, I got a call from this guy who I did not know had gone on to recently accept the job of digital director at the White House. He said, hey, my boss would really like to speak at South by Southwest. And I said, well, we'd love to have a video from 44. And he said, well, you know, he can create a video, but he'd really like to be there. So my point is that, again, meeting this person in 2007, 10 years later, translated to President Obama coming to speak at South by Southwest. And again, it's the power of those small connections that you keep up with that can lead to all kinds of new opportunities down the road. So again, advice to anybody listening, whether it's South by Southwest, whether it's Burning Man, whether it's CES, whether it's whatever you go to, you know, be nice to people, exchange business cards, follow up with them by email, social media, whatever you do. You don't know what those connections will lead to, what positive things they will lead to down the line.
Well, that certainly trumps, wrong pun, that trumps my my story. Yeah, I mean, I can't say that any of my connections have ever led me to having Secret Service details around me. And I think that's probably a good thing. I mean, on a more humble note, I had something similar in that I was speaking at a conference about a decade ago, and there's a guy in the audience. And apparently he followed me since I gave that presentation. And about a month ago, he reached out to me and asked if we could have a conversation about how to handle burnout in tech. Mm-hmm. As I'm sure you're aware, tech is notorious for burning and churning. Because I still am, and this is actually going to roll into one of our next topics, I'm still in tech outside of just this podcast. And he was curious, like, how do you stay passionate? How do you stay involved? I mean, how do you not want to just run off into the woods for 7 months a year in a school bus? Well, that's exactly what I do. That's how I stay passionate and involved, is that I avoid the poison that is cities. And I have a tendency to work a lot from various, very remote places. And in fact, I can do that because of Twitter/X, e.g. Starlink. As long as I have a clear view of the sky, I can work anywhere. And anyway, the point being is that this guy, 10 years later, and I asked him, I said, you know, why'd you reach out to me? And he's like, well, you make an impression. It's like, okay. And we had this whole great conversation about how to basically not get burnt out. He's, you know, he's of our age, you know, we're Gen Xers, you know, that kind of thing. And it was just those connections, like I said, not quite as impressive as, you know, President Obama, which I did vote for once, being able to handle that. But in speaking in tech, you have an interesting model for your content. You take an open source approach to your content. Can you describe what that means?
Yeah, for a lot of our content, meaning, again, panels, presentations, sessions, we get those through a process called the panel picker. This is a process we came up with roughly 15 years ago. I like alliteration because it helps remember things. So panel picker made sense, although it's not quite really the right name. But point is that we invite anyone in the community, quote unquote, which means anyone who can get on the internet to enter speaking proposals. We'll typically get about 4,500 speaking proposals from people all over the U.S., all around the world. We post all those speaking proposals on an online, on an interface. Anyone in the community can then vote for them. Simple internet style, thumbs up, thumbs down, or comment. Well, typically, it's a very competitive process. We'll typically get about 500 or 600 sessions out of this that actually happen at the event. But again, this reflects this idea, the power of community, the power of kind of this open source approach, this idea of trying to bring new voices in to our event, as well as new verticals. The panel picker is, I think, again, has many, many positive things, and not the least of which is just creating engagement with our community, creating a way to communicate with them, understand what they're interested in. And if they're interested in something, we should probably be interested in something also. Again, uncovering new voices, uncovering new voices from places outside the U.S., people who are creative in very different ways, but nonetheless are creative and who can inspire our audience. So again, this is one of the things that we've used over the last 15 years or so, and I think has really helped our event grow in a lot of different ways.
You know, one of the things you also do by doing that, or you create by doing that, is an investment in South by Southwest. In business, one of the best ways to generate goodwill is to allow the client, or in this case, the community, to have a feeling of ownership in what's going to happen. And that's a powerful thing, because the moment your community feels ownership of what is being built, not only do you have community, but you have advocates. And once you have advocates, the organic growth process happens, which is clearly Absolutely. Evidenced by the size of the show now, right?
Absolutely. I think you outline it very eloquently and knowledgeably. Part of one of the many advantages of using this system to get a lot of our content is you do create these community advocates, people who are going to spread word about or spread the gospel about South by Southwest. Maybe gospel is a little bit too the wrong way to say it, but
not in Texas.
Yeah, but talk about the event to their friends, their community, their associates, create excitement about the event. It has been one of the things that's helped us to grow, and I think helped us as well to improve the quality and relevance of a lot of our session content.
Do you think, I mean, you've been, like you said, over 30 years, right? And you've had a couple of breaks. What caused the breaks? Was this like, I want to try something new? Or was this like you had a great opportunity that just didn't turn out to be as sexy as you thought it was? Or,
you know, back to what you were talking about, churn and burn and burnout and all that stuff. Or the other side of the grass on the other side of the fence looked greener. But, you know, what is what I love about working for South by Southwest is that I get to work with incredibly creative people on my staff, on the South by Southwest staff, as well as speakers, as well as the attendees, the community. My dopamine hit is when the event is happening and someone comes up to me and says, you know, this is the highlight of my year. I was here last year. I got a new job. My startup got funded. My band got signed. I met my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband, my wife. You know, I was feeling down in the dumps and then I heard blank blank sing or saw this movie or heard this person talk. And all of a sudden I was inspired and felt a little bit more hopeful about the world. I mean, if you're an organizer and you hear that and you're some small part of that and you know this from the event that you do, well, that's gold, man. Like, that is addictive. And so that is one of the reasons that I've stuck around for so long. The other reason is that I every year we do it, I'm like, we got this right, but we didn't get that right. Got to fix that. And so if we ever get to a point, or if I ever get to a point where everything is like right, it's going to be mic drop, I'll leave. But we're not anywhere close to that yet. So there.
So there's a couple of things you touched on there, and we're starting to get into core values or the basis, right? And South by Southwest, its genre is creatives, but its basis, its existence, its infrastructure is actual people, right?
For sure.
And I think that a lot of times, it's possible to create a successful event about product, about idea. You know, like a Google Next or something like that, where you're celebrating, or Apple's big thing, where you're celebrating whatever the next great thing they think that they're going to come out with. It's original, that's already been out for 50 years. They just rebranded it and painted it blue. But what really matters is exactly what you said. I mean, we had an event that we ran in Moab recently, and being that you work, there's lots and lots of nomads are creatives. And you work with creatives, and I think we can all accept that creatives are, they can be interesting in a lot of ways. Even those of us, like I have certain creative streaks. I have a creative problem solving talent, for example. But I'm not, I met a gal once, and I was trying to help her with her business plan. And I said, so it's nice to meet you. What's your name? She looked at it and she said, my name is Spider. And I looked at it just deadpan out of my mouth was, of course it is. Right. But this couple at this last event we ran, we didn't know, of course, but at the end of the event, and it was a nomad camping event. So we did a lot of nomad camping stuff, fire, around the fire chats and things like that. And the very last thing, they got up and they said, we just wanted to thank everybody here because your community, this is our first time being there, allowed us, the couple, to reconnect. Mm-hmm. What now, and it could be anything, like you said, it could be you met your girlfriend or you have a better inspiration or positive outlook on life. But that dopamine hit when you're like, you actually help someone have a better day, possibly a better life. That's huge. And it makes me want to be like, okay, how do we get South by Southwest to be North by Northwest and North by Northeast and South by Southeast and global, right? Because those types of things, we got to shift our paradigm. I'm gonna go hippie for a minute. We got to shift our paradigm, man. This is just, we're riding too hard on the line. You know what I mean? And I know you do. How do we, what's next, right, for South by Southwest? How do we move that forward and expose that beauty? Because there's such beauty in all kinds of creative art. Doesn't matter what it is. And it's subjective. It doesn't mean you're going to like this or that, but you're going to like that or this, right? But it's something that needs to be, you know, exploded upon. It's just the betterment of society.
Right. Well, you know, I appreciate the nice words, JD, and we are very lucky to have evolved to where we are. And I think we do a pretty good job of bringing people together, providing inspiration. But I also, again, don't in any way think that we in any small way have a monopoly on this. I mean, there are, again, tons of incredible events. And when you bring people together, when you show them the value of these face-to-face connections, show them other people in their community that care about them, show them that you know, we do have a lot of differences on a surface level, but we have a lot more in common than we have differences. That is a really powerful thing. And again, as you said, and as I said, when you hear someone say that being here for the last day, last 2 days, last 3 days changed my life, wow, that's awesome. You know, that is the mic drop, right?
Absolutely. Now, you've been here over 30 years. You've seen the ups and downs. Is there a particular, I mean, we just covered like the dopamine hit, but is there a particular challenge? I mean, obviously you're there's the constant refinement, right? Like you said, oh, we got to do this better. We got to do that better. But is there a particular challenge that you find yourself hitting a wall with every year that you can't quite crack that egg?
I think the challenge, I mean, particularly in recent years, is that, and this is a lifeism, truism, however you want to phrase it, it is often easier to create community, to create meaningful interactions, to create valuable connections in a smaller setting. And when that begins to scale, because people have heard, wow, it's great, I want to go there, then that becomes, those meaningful connections often become harder. I think we've become pretty good at breaking this big event down into smaller component parts that people who are incredibly outgoing can enjoy and introverts like you and I can enjoy also. Again, creating smaller bits within this larger bit. But again, that is so much of our challenge at this point in our journey, that we've been lucky enough to grow. We've been fortunate enough to grow. We've got a lot of lucky breaks to grow. But that growth becomes, you know, in its own way, your biggest challenge, right?
Yeah, I mean, the breaking down into the individual components, or not necessarily individual, but smaller components, is probably your most success metric, right? Because if you can service like you and I mean, when I go to events or when we run events and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, my favorite part of the event is the dinner with 20 people and a good glass of wine at most. In terms of the people, right? And the rest of it's just exhausting just by nature of being an introvert. It just takes so much energy from you. But I was going to suggest, like, that is the way that you start creating those, well, I guess, communities within communities, right? And those connections within connections is by being able to break it down into a smaller whole. Is there something on the horizon for South by Southwest that we don't know about that you probably shouldn't share, but you're going to anyway? Or what's the secret in the sauce that you're not letting anybody know until this date, but we somehow got the scoop?
I don't know, JD. We as we tape this in late November, we just had our first South by Southwest branded event outside the US. We had a South by Southwest Sydney in Australia, which was really neat. I was fortunate enough to be able to go there for a few days and had a really neat vibe. Certainly is not at the scale of Austin at this point, but again, that's fine. There were great people, very creative people, very people who are passionate about their arts and craft, their profession, who got together for Sydney. So it was a really strong first year event. Look forward to growing there. As we take this, we're roughly 100 days away from South by Southwest 2024. It's an incredibly exciting time because we are, again, fully in this AI hype cycle. It's an incredibly scary time because we're fully in this AI hype cycle. And we'll see how this plays out over the next 3 months, and it's South by Southwest 2024.
Well, let's talk hype cycle for a minute. What is... I personally detest them, not the technology, but the hype cycle. What are your thoughts on the current future when it comes to AI? I mean, do you think it's going to be a good thing, a bad thing? It'll just be what it is because humanity is what it is. Will it be useful?
Wow, you got a lot of questions there, JD. Yes, yes, no, no, yes, no, yes. How about that? I think that the best case version here is that we can use these systems to, give us more time to think, creatively, to do menial tasks that are good to train a machine, a robot, algorithm on, but that freeing up that time makes us even more human. I certainly don't think we're anywhere near that yet. If you've typed a text message on your smartphone and you throw it down when it, retypes a word that you didn't want to retype, you didn't want it to type that word. You realize how flawed these systems are at present. They will get better. They're getting better quickly. But again, there's hand in hand with all this optimism is an idea that we lose control of our humanity through these increasingly complex and sophisticated systems. And so there's concern about that. I think about this daily, as I think a lot of us do, of what have we learned from the quote social media revolution, or what didn't we learn from the social media revolution? Should we be putting more guidelines on AI? I personally think we should. I think the hands-off approach to social media has led to some really, really bad things, and we ought to take those lessons and apply them to AI. I think there is momentum to do that, but again, we'll see how it all plays out as we move forward.
There's obviously a component of authoritarian control, 1984, that kind of thought process, and people like to wave that away. But if you actually look at where society has gone since that book was originally written, a lot of it's coming true. But in terms of in practice, real life issue with, like, say, ChatGPT or something like that, is it lowers the barrier of entry for the stupid to look smart. And the problem with it. Look, we all have our talents and gifts. I am not a brain surgeon. Okay. And the brain surgeon is not a podcast guy. Okay. But one of the things that really bugs me is ever since ChatGPT has come about and these other ones, is that I now get inundated with emails about try this, we can build this for you, sales pitchy stuff that clearly wasn't written by a human.
Yeah.
And as someone who is seeking that connection, I seek that connection with our clients, with our partners, with our team members, attendees of our conferences and festivals. When you do that, the first thing, I don't even read it. I click unsubscribe or I mark it as spam. These people are con artists pretending to be legitimate business people. Sure. And that is what is hardest for me about the model right now. In the future, I do, I, you know, I went on and I used one of the generative AI art programs. And I said, I want a picture of a French bulldog driving a school bus in the desert. And it was a cool picture. I mean, it took a minute and boom, popped it up. And it was hilarious. It was a great picture of this French bulldog hauling down the desert road in a school bus. And it was cool. And then I posted it to the festival's social media and something happened that was interesting. A lot of people loved it. But then one person said, how could you use AI for this? Why didn't you reach out to some of the nomad artists?
Yeah.
Which I think is completely legitimate. Now, I didn't plan on doing it as a way of continuing promotion. It was just like, this actually turned out pretty good. Check this out. But that comment right there, I think that's where South by Southwest is being so successful, because you are ensuring that those artists, those creatives are getting those connections. And I hadn't put that part of it together because, being a geek, I just, oh, look what this software can do. And then someone pulled back on me and said, what about the human element?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be my.
I mean, I agree. I generally agree, JD, but I also think that unfortunately, it is very, very nuanced. I mean, what's the number one song as we tape this? It's the Beatles.
No,
well, it's the Beatles.
Oh yeah, the new demo. Beatles song,
remixed by AI, and it's a kind of cool song, right?
Yeah.
So I hate it because it's AI. I love it because it's AI. I don't know. It's somewhere in between, and that's life. I think we're gonna have to redefine, and it's gonna be very difficult. Reimagine what our definitions of human creativity are. Is it completely human? Is it augmented by AI? Are we okay with that? Are we not okay with that? I don't know. I'm just here to raise the questions that it's not necessarily binary, right?
And that I would agree with. I think that, everything's a spectrum, right? And it's all subjective. And, I think that there will be some good things that come about, having, for example, in the medical industry, they're starting to be able to build these computers small enough that you can ingest basically a smart pill that can go through your system and detect things that otherwise they'd have to open you up. Right. Those types of things. But on the flip side, because humans have a narcissistic tendency, a selfish tendency, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to forego the work and the effort that involves doing good, right? And they're going to try and take a shortcut. And those shortcuts never pan out, but they're always jumping for the next shortcut, right? And something like AI is going to make that faster. And I think that's going to be hard.
Well, I mean, yes, I think what me remixing what you're saying, there are going to be shortcuts or potential shortcuts to authenticity. But I also think that as humans, we are ultimately pretty good at understanding what is authentic and what isn't authentic. And I mean, maybe understanding that becomes more and more difficult. Probably it becomes more and more difficult as we move forward with smarter and smarter machines, smarter and smarter algorithms, smarter and smarter programming, that type of stuff. But again, I'm a glass half full that humans are creative and can recognize, detect, appreciate creativity in other humans as opposed to creativity in machines.
All right. As we start to wrap this up, just a few final things. What is your art form?
What I do well, which is not necessarily an art form, and I'm not necessarily proud of it, but I would tell you, I respond to emails pretty quickly. that is my my life hack or whatever. And that has gotten me very far. But I would much rather have gotten far for other kinds of writing. I'm not there yet. For now, I'll settle on quick emails.
Fair enough. Favorite band?
That's
a tough one, I know.
I am a huge fan of the Boss, Bruce Springsteen. I've probably seen 50 shows all around the U.S. and all around the world in my last 30 years. So huge Bruce fan.
That's fantastic. I like Bruce too. I tend to float genres, and you know, my lifetime favorite band would be U2.
Nice.
And they, you know, it's just because they hit right at the right time, right? Joshua Tree came out. I was right at that age. And I actually, their Songs of Innocence tour, I got front row to on the launch of that tour in Vancouver. That was an amazing show.
So are you pro or con on the spear?
Pro or con on the spear? I'm going to abstain. I'm going to abstain from that.
That's con then, right?
Yeah, probably a con. And then, but now, right now, I'm on a country western trip. I'm a big Chris Stapleton fan.
Nice.
Really enjoy his stuff. Fantastic songwriter. Okay. Movie genre.
Dumb action hero films that I can watch.
It's hard to turn those down. Yeah, exactly. I mean, The Expendables is ridiculous, but they're so fun to watch.
Absolutely.
But I'm a sucker for the bad 80s stuff, like Roadhouse, right? That's, yeah.
Oh, man. As the evil bartender, he's got a bar in Austin now. You know that?
Yep, that's right. All right. Well, with that, the purpose statement of South by Southwest is South by Southwest helps creative people achieve their goals. It sounds like you've gone farther than that. You're not only helping them achieve them, they are finding foundation in them through you. Would you consider that a fair statement?
I consider that a very generous and nice statement. I think we do that in our best days. Don't accomplish that for all of our community, but it's something that we aspire to, where we, again, help creative people find out how they can be even more creative, make a living from that, as well as make powerful connections with other creative people that can provide them meaning and can provide them opportunity in the future.
And with that, this has been More Than a Refresh, a podcast about data and the people who wrangle it, and interviews with the most interesting people you may have never met. Our guest was Hugh Forrest, co-president and chief programming officer at South by Southwest. Thank you so much for joining, Hugh.
Thanks, JD. It's been a great conversation.
Appreciate it.